This is Justin Case, and this is a milestone episode 40 of Case in Point. And with me, I have a very special guest making his visual debut on the podcast, Ryan McCormick of A Fireside Chat, good friend of mine. How you doing, pal?
Good, buddy. Thanks for having me on. I'm excited to be back. I'm excited to be the kind of beginning of middle age episode of your podcast, number 40. So this is very exciting for me, but thanks for having me.
Brought to you by Centrum Silver.
Yeah, right.
No one talks about that anymore.
No.
But yeah, it's like you watch those like Sustacal commercials in the 90s, like, get the days of your youth back. And there's like a raccoon tail on the convertible. It's the old people.
Hey, before we start, do I need to be doing anything on my end? Do I need to be recording this or anything?
I got it.
Okay, all right, good.
Yeah, we're rolling.
Sit here and get drunk.
See, before when I did this with Ponch and Paul McGinty, they must have made some updates to the Windows base, because now I wasn't able to record before, or maybe right. I was just an idiot and couldn't figure it out. But
well, my favorite part about podcasting with you is we both do our own podcast and we edit it, we do all this stuff together. But when we get together, we cannot figure out how to record for the life of us, and especially with Skype. It's always a 20-minute session of just trying to figure out how to get everything working between the two of us.
I know, it's so bad.
Oh well.
Yeah. So it's just been insane, man. Just trying to get a show out there. So what's been going on with you, man? It's I gotta tell you, I have not really. I'm behind not only doing my own show, but listening to other people's. And I know you've been putting stuff out there, fairly recently.
Yeah, I've been behind myself. I'm with Christmas time and holidays and everything. Everything's kind of hectic. But I did this thing with the end of October all through November. It's a series of podcasts on A Fireside Chat called The Journey. Basically what it was my girlfriend and I didn't break up or anything, but I went and lived in an apartment that was no longer being lived in by my sister. So it was kind of my own bachelor pad for a month to kind of work through my anxiety. But also I made a promise to myself I was going to record every single day. I was just going to make myself turn on the microphone and record. And I managed to actually do it, which is, if anyone listens to my podcast, they know sometimes I'll go months without putting out an episode. So it was something to just keep myself in check and just keep that kind of creative juice flowing. So it's chronicled all throughout the journey. There's six parts. And it was a lot of fun. And it kind of, it's a lot of highs and lows and dealing with anxiety and forms of depression. And then there's times where I just get in the car and I rant about people and their driving and their stupidity. So it's kind of all over the place. But it was a lot of fun to do.
And see, that's what I love about your show. And I started listening to it back in like 2013.
Yeah, you were early on us.
Yeah, and I was like, man, this is like crazy because like I had just started like I had been at the same job, but it was like I was doing something new.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's like I wasn't in my comfort zone, so I definitely know how I could feel what you were feeling at that same time generally. And yeah. And it's like if people aren't, your coworkers and stuff aren't being reasonable, it just makes it a little worse to deal with. But eventually you get over it, But it was like, it was that show, I was sold. I was sold. Nice. I said, I don't know anything about this guy. I didn't know you're into wrestling. All I knew was that, like, you listened to Jody's show.
Yeah, that old comic smell, yeah.
Yeah, and it was like, I think the way it played out was, I flew over to New York to do a show with them, episode 38, Mr. Donatelli's Meatballs. Yeah. That's a reference to cat poop, everybody. You had commented on that, and I think I ended up listening to your show, and you were talking about that, about, like, we're talking about hills and all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that kind of just got the ball rolling after I listened. And then you did the Halloween thing. Yeah. Which was like, a few months later.
Yeah.
Because that would have been like October that same year.
That would have been October. And then I don't remember what year, man. But I remember one year, of course, you came on and did a Halloween episode with me where we told those stories and stuff. And if people haven't heard that, they should definitely go check it out because it was you told some really great stories on there about your experiences with spirits and stuff like that. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah. That's some crazy stuff. I mean, it's – we should – I was meaning to get with you this last Halloween, but man, things have been insane.
I know. The it's older like they we get, slow down. The same things get, you know? It's like, remember when we were kids and it was just like our biggest worries was just like what cartoons are we going to watch or is Hulk Hogan going to retain his title? And now it's just like real life, you know?
I know. I was just thinking about that this morning. I mean, it's like, man, things have just kind of quickened.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
And I was actually trying to go back and think like, okay, now what was the last age I remember where things were not crazy?
Wow, right? That's a great question.
And yeah, I mean, because it's like it. I would probably say for me, and we're probably gonna rabbit trail everybody. This is what happens on my show because it's the way my mind works.
Yeah, mine too.
Free flow. It's just like I think the last time things were slow for me was probably when I was in like ninth grade.
That sounds about right. Yeah, that sounds about right. Because that's right around the point where it's like you're still a kid, and that's right around the point where you're getting into kind of like teenage and all the weird stuff starts happening, and then your life just, you know, you find women and your whole world just falls apart.
That's right. I bet you that's the linchpin right there.
Yep. It's got to be. It's got to be.
Because then they turn the world upside down. Yeah. What did I do wrong? You know, it's like, you did everything wrong.
You're alive. You exist. That's what you did wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, it's, yeah, I would have to say, though, I'm glad the way I like being like where I'm at now. It's much more fun to be an adult for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you're in charge of yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Says the man with a comic book cup, you know. Well, I'm real mature, aren't I? Yeah. But I mean, it's like, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
So we should do like another one of those Halloween episodes. Man, that was great.
Hell yeah! Actually, it's funny you mentioned that. I was actually talking with my buddy Saxman, who's been on the podcast a lot. He was the one who was with me in the parking lot when my buddy got possessed. It's all in Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark on my podcast, The Fireside Chat. But we're actually looking into seeing if we can get a police report from the thing that happened that night, because there has to be some kind of record of it and kind of go from there, because, you know, your support of that show and everyone else seems to love that episode and love that story, and I just want to milk as much content out of it as I possibly can.
Yeah.
And so now we're kind of looking into that to see if there's anywhere else we can go with it, if anyone else has any recollections of that night or any kind of evidence of what happened.
Yeah, that'd be great, because you got your buddy there, Mike Holshue.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he's probably pretty interested in that whole thing. And,
oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, it's like, because, I mean, when I heard that story, masterful storyteller, my friend.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you.
I mean, when you tell it, you have people hooked. You're like, what happens next? And not only that, throwing in just the very relatable, nuances of being a teenager. And, you know, because I was like, man, my brother and I, we were just like that, you know, or like Jody and, you know, all our friends. We'd do like village-wide hide and seek, and we'd have like dogs barking at us. And one guy hid under like the cover of someone's pool or something like that. It was like messed up. And so I relate to just the antics of being a teenager and being out in the woods or whatever. You know, you're always snooping around.
Right, and that's what it was, because we didn't have this internet, we didn't have Netflix, we didn't have a computer in our pocket that we're walking around with all the time. It was just your parents sent you outside, you had to go make your own fun, and you went outside in the woods, and you just were kids, you know? It was simpler times.
So what if you set things on fire with your father's turpentine and his painting supplies? No big deal.
Exactly, exactly. Not a big deal. No harm, no foul.
That's right. I didn't burn the garage down. I just melted my cheap sneakers.
Yeah, that's all. Nothing major.
Stick stuck in them.
Yeah, exactly.
My brother had some really cheap voids, and we set this Buddy L bus on fire. It was like a toy bus.
Yeah.
And he was stomping it out, and he had those Voight sneakers with the cheap plastic soles on them. And so his shoe got all gummy from the heat.
Oh. And
he's accidentally stepped on a stick, and it got stuck in the sole of his shoe.
Oh, my God.
My mom knew what happened. You know, she's like, where's the matches? You know. That's it.
Yeah, moms always know, no matter what. They just know.
Yeah. Now I gotta get you another pair of shoes. You know? This time I'm gonna get you Spaldings and teach you a lesson.
Spaldings, yeah, I had Spaldings.
Oh yeah, you slide across the gym floor, you know.
Yep.
It wasn't cool back then to be cool now, I guess. I don't know.
When I was a kid, the thing I wanted more than anything in the world, I would have sold my parents down the road for a pair of the Michael Jordan pumps with the little basketball that you
squeeze. Oh, yeah.
But my parents couldn't afford it, so they got me, like, the Kmart version where, like, the pump was on the back heel. And it didn't do anything. It just looked like the shoe was growing a tumor or something on the back. The laughing stock of school. But, you know, what are you going to do? Middle class.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Hey, I hear you. You know. Yeah, it's like, yeah, we never had, like, you know, good sneaks or anything like yeah. that, you know.
Just, yeah.
So I was like, again, I mean, as an adult, it's like, if I want to wear cheap shoes, it's my own decision, you know.
Exactly.
It's like, I'm going to wear slip-ons. I have no shame.
Yeah. You hit a certain point of being an adult, you just stop caring anymore. You're done impressing people. You're just, yeah. you're fine with who you are, and it's just, this is who I am. Take me as I come. And, you know, and you see that's the type of people you see at, like, Sunday morning at the grocery store or any time at Walmart. You know, it's like, these people are just, they're just comfortable in their own skin, and God bless them for it. You know, I'm that same person.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I did see one guy. He was at, like, this is probably about 10 years ago. He was at the Pasco, Washington Walmart, and he had pink Crocs on.
Wow.
He was like a retired guy, and he was wearing pink Crocs.
Go with it.
And so my buddy and I were like, I go, take a picture. And we were snickering, and he goes, and turned around at us, and we go,
Right.
You know, trying to cover it up. He knew what was going on.
Yeah.
He got the picture. It was awesome. And no shame until someone said something about it, you know.
Yeah. I mean, you're going out wearing pink Crocs, you got to expect, you know, people are going to notice. They're going to, you know, they're going to be interested.
Yeah. What would you expect, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. You're not going incognito in pink Crocs.
No, sir. Get your Dale Earnhardt t-shirt and pink Crocs.
Yeah. All right. Sunday best.
The race is on. Oh, that's great. Yeah. So I'll be honest with you, I didn't have an agenda.
I never do either. That makes for the best shows sometimes.
Oh yeah. And it's are you familiar with, like, KISS or any of those guys, like, they're
I was a big KISS guy.
Well, you know what's funny? This morning I was Vinnie Vincent, who was, like, their guitarist for a short period.
Yeah, absolutely.
He decided to go to a convention, and I think it was in Vegas, I think.
Okay.
There was a recent convention, and he's like, he's gonna, like, go out and do a tour and everything, and, like, start making music, because he's been, like, unheard of in 20 years.
Yeah.
And so he's been getting his name back out there and, like, making an appearance, saying, like, oh, I'm going to do a tour. I'm going to start off with a few shows and blah, blah, blah. And it was like he was on Gene Simmons' vault tour. Gene Simmons did a vault tour because it's just a money grab, you know.
Of course.
And But he was on that. And it was funny because he has been postponing or canceling his tour, his, like, concerts he's going to play. And, like, people are getting really ticked off and stuff. And I thought it was funny that these guys are, like, KISS is going to be doing, like, their final farewell tour, like, for good.
I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, and I guess people have been claiming that they've just been playing backing tracks for the vocals.
Really?
Like, they haven't even been singing. Because they want to sound, like, pristine for their last tour.
Right, right.
And I was like, oh, that's crazy, man. And, like, you know, Ace and Paul aren't in the band, you know?
Yeah.
And they're just putting the makeup on the guys that, you know, with Tommy Thayer and Eric Singer. And it's like, I'm glad that I saw them in 2000 for their original farewell tour.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, like, they're like, well, they said, well, what about those people that, those bands that say that's a farewell tour, but then they go back out and tour again. And they're like, well, that's not us. We're not those people. Well, what are you doing?
I was thinking about this the other day too, because they're coming here on their farewell tour, and I saw them. One of my first concerts I went to was in '96, whenever they brought back Chris and Freely, and did the. Yeah. It was one of the best shows I've ever seen. It was amazing. Yeah. And I was thinking the other day, it's like professional wrestlers and rock bands. they never actually stay retired. You know, how many farewell tours have we seen by these bands and then they come back? How many professional wrestlers have we seen? Well, this is my last. Terry Funk has had like 100 retirement matches and he's still out there wrestling. You know, he's like 107 years old. But but with Kiss, it's become such it's almost like you're not even going for the music anymore, the musicians. You're going for the experience. You want to see Gene Simmons spit the blood and fly around the stage, and you want to hear Paul Stanley come out and, you know, swing across the stage with his big cod piece, you know, and everything. And they just take two guys and just dress them up like Ace and Peter. And just like, oh, here you go. And then, you know, they still do the Ace shooting the fireworks out of the guitar and stuff. But it's, you know, whoever dressed up as him now, it's just become such a big... The brand has become so big. You know, I actually work with a guy who his dream in life is to buy a Kiss casket. He wants to be buried in a they sell their own caskets, you know, like it's just become such, the fandom is just so insane.
Yeah, it's anything. I mean, it's that's Gene's baby, you know, the casket thing, and which I think is funny. I think it's, of all things, they're selling caskets.
Right. If you can make money off, why not, you know?
Yeah, I mean, in the way he markets it, it's like a no-brainer for him. He's like, why not have something with it? You know, you want to get buried with us? You know, that's my best attempt at a Gene Simmons.
That was a pretty good Gene, yeah.
Oh, thanks. But it's like, sometimes I'll do the voices to myself to make myself laugh like Jake the Snake. I'll be in the kitchen, and I'll just talk like Jake the Snake to myself.
What do you say? What's something you will say as Jake the Snake? Do you go like old 80s promo Jake the Snake, or do you go like beyond the mat, like pissing in a bucket Jake the Snake?
Yeah, I'd like to say maybe a cross between the two, but I probably have to go with the older Jake.
Yeah, right, well, that's the best one. I mean, come on, yeah. That's the Jake I love.
Yeah, it's, but again, you can't be laughing when you do it because he doesn't laugh. You
right,
know?
No. Yeah,
unless he's like...
funny about it.
It's like the you can trust me, Jake, isn't it? Or was it the black trunks? This one has two snakes.
Oh, nice.
Was it Damien and Lucifer, isn't it?
Damien and Lucifer, yeah.
I got that at clearance, but at Target, but I was like, oh, that's cool. But, yeah, it was like, it's just like, Damien, my friend, you got to worry about the DDT. DDT, DDT, DDT. Think about it.
That's awesome. You got his tone down and everything. That was a really good Jake.
Yeah, it's like that was that Dave's Cards and Collectibles, or that one. It's in Pennsylvania. Oh,
that commercial. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Your M's, your J's, your Y's. Well.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So, He's just a fascinating guy, and with, you know, his whole persona, the way he could turn that on and off, the way he could turn it, I mean, that guy, the fact that, you know, I think that if he was ever, I'm surprised he didn't get involved in the movie industry or something.
Oh, he would,
because wrestlers are actors. That's what they are.
Yep.
And, but I will tell you, a lot of them can't, you know, a lot of the younger ones, they just haven't had enough time in the... in the seat, so to speak. They can't act worth a crap, you know?
Yeah. And the thing with Jake that was always great was everything he did had a purpose. He was just so methodical in the way he would say things, and he would just, when he was talking, you just had no choice but to listen to everything he said and the way he said it. It's just, it was his promos, it was just such a lost art. And I wish that he could pass that on to some of the younger guys now, because he just had such a way of commanding your attention with every word, and he would just talk real slowly and methodically, but you were glued to everything that he said.
Oh, absolutely. And yeah, I mean, it was like when you watched him, like in the earlier WWF stuff, you know, like on the network, I've been watching that, and like there's the episode where he gets cracked in the back with the guitar.
Yeah, yeah.
In that time period, he had a little bit more body to his voice because he was a lot younger and stuff, but I think maybe there was a lot of consumption and stuff that hadn't really taken its toll yet. But it was like, when I watched those and I saw him, I didn't even recognize his voice really, because it was like, I think back then he didn't really, his character wasn't the way it was, like the way we described it later on, where it's slow and methodical. You know, it's it's more like, I think he's still maybe just getting his footing still, as far as like, because I mean, he was all in those days, it was all about what you did in the ring.
Yeah, exactly.
What your gimmick looked like, not necessarily more into the psychology of how you deliver promos or something. And I think that probably he refined that more as he went on. And I mean, it just, just a very, I guess, enigmatic character, I guess.
Yeah, that's a great way to describe him. Absolutely. And I remember one of the most traumatic experiences I remember as a child was when he took the Cobra and put it on Macho Man's arm and it was biting him. And I was a wreck.
Yeah.
Macho Man was one of my favorites. And he was just so methodical and scary at the time. Like, just that, and when Earthquake smashed Hulk Hogan's ribs, just both of those things traumatized me as a child, watching my heroes get taken down.
Yeah, it's probably where Hogan got the idea later on to always have some kind of like a neck brace or something like that later on in like WCW.
Yeah. Yeah.
So lame. It's like if he hadn't done that Hollywood Hogan thing, I don't know where he would have gone, because he decided to do like the spandex thing with no sleeves on it and the chains and the black bandana.
Yeah, he was such a cartoon character at that point that when he just turned heel, it just flipped everything on his head. It was so revolutionary because it was the last thing anyone ever expected. And it kind of makes me a little sad that we're probably never going to get to see that same kind of thing from John Cena, who became kind of the new era Hulk Hogan. And he kind of, well, now he's off in Hollywood doing his thing. We'll never have that kind of like evil Cena, which I think could have been really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's, I don't know. I mean, maybe it's because I'm an adult, but I don't see like John Cena's fame being anywhere close to Hulkamania.
Yeah, I don't think it had the mainstream appeal, but as far as like when you think of the face of the WWF in the 80s, you think Hulk Hogan. And I think when you talk to someone who's maybe a casual fan who is aware enough that The Rock is no longer a regular performer, usually the name that comes up is John Cena, just because basically they kind of know him from the stuff he's done outside of wrestling. Usually, you know, his movies, his stuff on The Tonight Show, stuff like that. He's kind of crossed over a little bit, but I don't think there'll ever be another time like when Hogan crossed over. Cause it was just different with the whole MTV thing, the rock and wrestling, you know, having a strong heel like Piper and the way they kind of crossed over in the mainstream. It was just a totally different time. And I don't know that it could be done now, even with the age of, like, the internet and the way there's no kind of information travels so quickly now. It's just such a rapidly, you know, we were talking earlier about things moving so quick. It's just, in every sense of the word, it's just always such a rapidly changing time anymore.
Yeah, and I mean, it's, and then you got Vince, he's selling off more shares of WWE to fund the new, the extreme, what do they call that thing again? Yeah,
XFL,
There you go.
Yeah, is it Extreme Football League? Is that what it stands for?
Yeah, exactly. Because they allow like pile drivers in the end zone, right?
Yeah, just about. I mean, pretty much. It's pretty much.
I think I'd watch it if they had like, you know, they allowed like, I guess, just anything goes as far as like using forearms and stuff, and maybe like, maybe it would make watching football actually entertaining.
There you go. Did you ever watch the XFL when it originally was on? Did you watch any of it?
No, because I'm trying to remember where it even aired, because that was more of an indie thing in a lot of ways.
Yeah, they had a contract with NBC, at least for the first game. The only time I ever saw with them was the first game, and I tuned in for 5 minutes, and I was like, oh, okay, this is. I thought it was going to be somehow involved wrestling, because I was like, oh, this is actual like football. I'm not interested. You know, switch me back to Nitro or whatever. But yeah. So I don't really know a whole. And the ESPN did a great 30 for 30 on it that I learned a lot about because I didn't really follow it at the time. But I'll be interested to see what they do with it when they bring it back.
Well, I mean, they're going to have to do something that's going to really put butts in the seats. And I watched when I saw WWE in town here for a SmackDown show. It was just a house show. It was still pretty good. It was enjoyable. It's not really something that it's not going to be something that I'm going to always be thinking about the rest of my life, but it was like, cause it's just a small,
yeah,
just a small gig, but I mean, it was kind of neat that they had like AJ Styles and stuff like that. But
yeah,
I just think that like maybe it seems like maybe this is like the direction that Vince McMahon wants to go because he's kind of done with the wrestling thing. He's leaving it to Triple H and those guys, and you know, I always hear like Triple H actually really he likes the 80s wrestling and stuff. And I know people complain about like the PG era, blah blah blah, and it's like, well, guess what? If you want to make the money and you want to be a more mainstream appeal, that's what you have to do.
Yeah, yeah, you because, have
like,
to.
Or not, you, if people have kids and stuff, they don't. They're not going to want to take your kids to something where like it's ECW and you know someone's getting hit in the head with a vacuum cleaner. You know, exactly. That's just not going to fly. So they're you're not in. You know, honestly, I mean. My thing is like my son likes to watch like he likes to watch wrestling.
Yeah.
Because to him they're like real life superheroes or just like these gargantuan guys in the ring, you know, and I don't have to worry about, you know, someone's eye popping out of their socket or anything, you know, it isn't like Sabu versus you know, RVD or something like a hardcore match or whatever, you know. Even though as an adult I would watch those.
Right.
You know. Right. But like, cause I remember like my brother and I, we used to watch the, ECW, pay-per-views.
Yeah.
And our brother-in-law would get them like, what was one of them? It was like November to Remember.
Yeah, absolutely.
And those were always fun to watch. Cause you know, like, I remember one where Sabu, he got hit in the gut during a match and he was like throwing up on the side of the ring. He's just like, oh, you know?
Yeah.
Because he got hit in the gut so hard. But then, like, anytime New Jack would come out, he would jump off the balcony.
He was insane. He was a nutcase. Absolute nutcase, yeah. I mean, it feels weird because, as like you said, as an adult, it's fun to go back and watch that and like, oh, my God, this is crazy. But you look at these guys now, and you almost feel bad that you're watching them do this to their bodies because now, I mean, a lot of them aren't even with us anymore. You know, like Balls Mahoney, Axel Rotten, you know, Chris Candido, all these guys have passed on. And with everything we know about concussions now and head injuries and all the stuff that we didn't know back then, it is basically like watching a human car crash, you know, that old ECW stuff. And those guys now, you know, a lot of them are just addicted to painkillers because they put their bodies through so much.
Yeah, and that's a good point. I mean, because it's like, you know, I think a lot of it is that, like, you know, because we were kids that grew up and, like, wrestling was fake, and then you watch ECW, and you know the guys are really taking hits, but there's still that in the back of your mind, you're like, well, you don't think about, like, okay, well, he just broke both of his ankles
jumping
on the balcony, or he's got a steel rod in his back now, and he's addicted to painkillers.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was like, it did get pretty bad in the late 90s. Like what, 98, 99, when the backyard wrestling was at its peak. But I think a lot of it was expose, you know. But there was something to it because it was a kind of a thing that spread.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And kids jumping off houses and stuff on the trampolines or jumping in pools or whatever. And, like, I mean, my brother and I did it, you know.
Yeah, and I remember that coincided right with whenever Mick Foley released his first book, and they would always on Raw they would play that clip of him as a teenager jumping off the building, jumping off the house onto the mattress or whatever. Yeah, I mean, I was doing backyard wrestling with my friends, you know, and we were a bunch of wimps, like we weren't doing half the crazy stuff that kids were doing to one another. But yeah, it became a real phenomenon there for a while.
Yeah, because me and another guy, a friend of mine, he. Like, him and I actually did, like, real submission holds. See who's going to black out first kind of stuff.
Oh, wow, yeah. That's
and, like, are you going to tap? Are you going to tap or what, you know?
Yeah.
I got in a situation where we kind of got carried away, and I thought my ankle was going to get snapped.
Oh, my God.
And then I almost blacked him out. I had him in a reverse sleeper hold. Then he had my ankle, and... I let go because I'm like, you know what? I don't want to lose my ankle here, and I don't want him to pass out or there'd be a problem. So that was my last stint with backyard wrestling. I said I'm done after this because it just when you got all your buddies around, everyone's all like, well, see who's going to, you know, it's that whole teenage competitive thing. And I'm like, well, this isn't worth it. You know, I'm just.
Yeah.
So I you know, everybody was fine, but it was just like I knew I knew that the line was being crossed and that it wasn't worth my time.
Yeah.
Or his. And so it was like, it was never like, you see some of these kids, it was terrible, you know, because it was like taking chairs to people's heads. And like, you see some of those grown guys now with those indie shows and they're like jumping through like, plate glass and stuff or whatever. Yeah. You know, they're taking like, you know, like freaking glass on the head and stuff just for shock value, and they're bleeding.
Well, speaking of that, I don't know if you saw or not, but a story that kind of hit a little bit of the mainstream news was David Arquette, the actor turned wrestler, was just recently involved in a match where it was a hardcore match, and he was going against Nick Gage, who was kind of like known on the indie scene as being the deathmatch guy, and things got a little out of hand, and like basically like Arquette got busted up and kind of freaked out in the middle of the match and started kind of shooting on the guy. And Nick Gage kind of had to grab him and kind of calm him down. It kind of made a little bit of mainstream news. And it's kind of one of those things where it's like people talk and shit on wrestling a lot about, you know, it's fake. But at the end of the day, like these guys really do get hurt and they really do get injured and stuff. And sometimes it's something like that where they kind of view it as David Arquette's Hollywood guy is coming in and we got to make an example out of him. And I don't know that that's the best representation of the quote-unquote sport, you know, that kind of attitude of, well, you know, they think it's fake, so we'll just go beat the shit out of this guy and prove it's not fake.
Yeah, right? We're going to smarten him up.
Yeah, right, exactly, right. Got to smarten him up, yeah, that kind of macho thinking.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's a good thing that stuff, I think, is largely kind of, you know, subsided, I guess. Because, man, when it's just kids, man, it's your friends, you know, it's kind of like, I think we got to, like, let's take an intermission here. Let's go get some Hawaiian Punch. No, I'm just kidding.
Right. Hawaiian Punch solves everything, you know? That's what I've always said.
What's a sugar-free swill?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's like Jody. Jody got... He got his mom's leather jacket, and he dressed up like Raven.
Oh, that's amazing.
He got her pie tins and was going to use them as plunder. She goes like, oh, my pie tins, what'd you do? She got mad at him because he dented them up, but he let other people ding him in the head with them.
Oh, that's awesome.
But it wasn't, like, hard or anything, because you're just thin, you know? I mean, it wasn't... He never got hurt or anything, but he did drop kick me off a trampoline once.
Nice.
And I flew, because he's a big guy. He's probably... I think he's, like, 6'1", 6'2", something like that. He's a big dude. And I got the full tilt of those orange tab jeans he was wearing.
Were you both on the trampoline, and he
yeah. Like,
wow, and you fell off of it?
Yeah, he cut me off. Oh, I was so mad. And he's like, hey, man, hey, guys, it's just an accident. Like that. But Jody and I always work in a lot of ways. You know, he's like my other brother, you know, because like my brother and I, we would get out of hand. And then Jody and I would inadvertently, you know, do something, and then it was like, hey, that's not cool or whatever. But it was like, I remember I gave him, it was like Taz versus Bam Bam Bigelow, because he got on my back to put me in some kind of a submission hold, and I'm like 5'8", and he's like 6'1", and I had him on my back, and we're in my brother's room. I go, "Argh!" like that, and I dropped him back on my brother's bed and snapped the frame.
Oh.
And he goes, you guys, out! Out! He's playing like something on PS1, you know?
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, so my brother had to put like paint cans or books under his bed to prop it up because it was snapped in half. He kicked us out, you know? And, it was just funny because it was like when Taz put Bam Bam Bigelow through the ring, you know?
I remember that. Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah.
And then, like everything in wrestling, that was a really cool spot you'd never seen before. And so then we got to do it over and over and over again and just beat it to death.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's like, we'll see what happens. I mean, I like the network and everything.
Yeah.
And I'm working through NWA, I'm working through the World Championship Wrestling. I think I'm on the 87 season right now.
Oh, I bet that's some really good stuff.
It's excellent because it takes you all the way through nonstop where, like, you know, like Magnum TA was supposed to be, like, they had the work where they had Magnum TA and Nikita Koloff were going to have their big match. And I'm trying to remember, I think those two were going to go at it. No, Magnum TA was going to go up against, who was it? He was supposed to get the title. He was going to get a world title shot.
Right, right, right.
And then he got in that car accident, and then they put Nikita Koloff as in his spot.
Right.
I think it was for Starrcade.
I think you're right.
Starrcade 86.
Yeah, that was Night of the Skywalkers, right?
Yeah.
They had the scaffold match?
Yeah, and it's crazy because, like, when Jim Cornette fell off that scaffold, he got all tore up.
Yeah.
And when you watch that, that's brutal, man.
Yeah, and he legitimately, like, didn't he, like, do something to his kneecaps? Was it he broke his kneecaps or something?
Yeah.
Something ridiculous. Because Big Bob was supposed to catch him or something and didn't quite get him.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, that was painful, you know. And it's funny because, like, Cornette's wearing, like, the deacon's coat and the dress pants and stuff, the polyester suit. And,
yeah.
You know, and it's just crazy, man. I mean, it's
And it's Road Warriors and Midnight Express in a scaffold match. And if people don't know what a scaffold match is, it's a freaking scaffold is like whatever, 10, 15, 20 feet in the air, and they're wrestling and they're falling off it. But that's a great scaffold match. One of the worst scaffold matches I've ever seen is also on the network, and it's on Great American Bash 91. It's the opening match. It's between Terry Taylor and Steve Austin, as he's stunning Steve Austin, against Bobby Eaton, and my personal all-time guilty pleasure, PN News. Do you remember PN News? The rapper, Yo Baby, Yo Baby, Yo. So this match, whereas in the Road Warriors Midnight Express match, like, people are falling off the scaffold and they're getting beat up. This match is amazing because it's 10 minutes of four guys who are clearly terrified of heights and are doing everything in their power to not even touch one another for fear of what happened to Jim Cornette falling off there. It's the worst / best match that you can find on the network.
Yeah, I need to go watch that. And I forgot all about those guys because,
yeah,
like, is it that'd be like 91-92,
which was just a horrible time for WCW with all these weird kind of characters and gimmicks that they had, like Big Josh and
Big Josh.
Oz
was Oz,
yeah,
there,
Oz, right. Oh, so many horrible, horrible things. The Master Blasters.
Oh, jeez. Well, and I think Shivani's got the Oz cape now.
Yes, 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 yes. Yeah.
Who did Kevin Nash give that to him?
I think so. Kevin Nash or Kevin Sullivan. One of the Kevins.
That's great. I was thinking about that Halitosis match that we booked with Kevin Sullivan.
Oh, that was such a bad time for wrestling. But, like, because that's when I was a kid and I was growing up and kind of discovering wrestling. So I look back on it with such fondness, but it's so bad. It's so hard to watch. But it holds such a nostalgic place in my heart.
Yeah, it's like I had those trading cards.
Yeah, the old, like, yellow ones.
Yeah, they're all, like, 90s, like,
yes,
sideways.
Yeah, everything's a little off-center. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, I had those, and I used to spend hours sorting them at my sister's house, which I don't understand why I was doing that. I guess I had nothing else to do, but it was like,
exactly.
I got 5 Nikita Koloffs. I got to get rid of these things, you know.
Yep, yep. Yeah, there was like one or two cards that were just, you could not find for the life of you, just to complete your collection.
Yeah, yeah, it was, because I think trading cards were huge back then, man, because it was like, sports cards were big, but then the biggest thing were, like, the Marvel Universe cards.
Yeah. Yeah. And for a while, I was big into collecting. I remember trying to collect all the cards for the original Tim Burton Batman movie. They had a series of trading cards out that I was just, my whole life was spent just trying to find whatever ones I was missing.
Yeah. I actually went back years later, actually a couple years ago. I actually got two unopened cases of those.
Wow.
Unopened.
Where did you find that? Like a flea market?
Oh, I found them on eBay.
Wow.
It was like $10 for, you know, Because one of them, I think series two had the yellow box, that the yellow package, and then series one had the orange. But they had the huge poster it comes with.
Yes, yes.
And their wax packs, and they had that gum in there, which probably by now is only gum in the scientific sense.
Yeah, that gum. I remember that. Oh.
Yeah, but wax packs were awesome, man. And it was like you could even the sticker cards that came with, you could make the big picture with them.
Yep, I remember that. I remember that.
Yeah, right, because the poster that came with the box of cards was for the store who was selling them, because it was supposed to be a promo.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I remember seeing those. Wow, you got what, two of those, you said?
Yeah, me, I got them back here. And I've posted pictures before of them.
I think I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, I just love them. And,
Yes, you did post that, because it took me right back to my childhood. I felt like I was 8 years old again. It was amazing.
Yeah, it's like, I remember, like, Rambo was a little bit before my time, but it's still around, but there's the Rambo box.
Oh, that is so awesome.
This was brand new, because it still doesn't fold out straight, because it's, like, crisp.
Looking at that, I still remember the feeling I would get as a child walking up to the counter when I would see one of those there, like, Mom, can I buy some Rambo trading cards? Like, what a great feeling that is.
Which is by no means a kid's movie, you know?
And no, it was, not at all, yeah.
But it was like, he had the guns, and he just, like, all jacked and stuff. He's, like, you know, tough, you know?
Yeah.
And it was like, and here's, like, the, here's the.
Wow, look at that.
And I think it's backwards in the camera, but 45 cents a pack.
That's amazing. 45 cents. Wow.
Yeah. And it was like, I think it's got, like, let me see if I, I'll get the poster out of here, what's in here. I've got it somewhere, but it was like, yeah, it was amazing. I mean, I love these because they just pop up, you know, and it's like you're, so I got them set up so it's like you're in a gas station.
Yeah, right, exactly. I love it.
Yeah, and it was like, I could have swore that I had, that is just really strange. I know I got the other set somewhere, but, oh, there's the poster. I just found it.
Nice.
Here it is. Eh. Oh, yeah, this is great. Can't wait to show you this. I do this on every show. I show off, like, an old something that I got. And I have... You're going to love this, man. You are going to love this. I got into this small, like, frenzy of buying these card boxes, right?
Oh, wow.
So, check it out. Rambo Black Flak chewing gum.
Oh my god, I remember that! Holy crap! Dude, that is a black raspberry. That is amazing.
I bet you my gullet was full of this stuff for like 2 years straight.
Yes,
you know?
Yes, that and Big League Chew. That was like my lunch and dinner.
Yeah, they're like these little purple like squares. So it says 1985.
Oh my god. Where did you have you? Where did you get that at? Where did you find that?
eBay.
eBay, yeah, yeah,
yeah. That's I love that stuff because I remember I had some when I was a kid too as well. And then there's a Knight Rider,
nice.
And the boxes are actually more expensive to get than the cards in the pack. The
boxes are in really good condition too.
Yeah, this one was crisp, like brand new.
Yeah,
I think I got it for like $5.
Wow, what a steal.
Yeah, I mean, that was pretty decent. And then, yeah, here's the... This one's a little beat up, but you get the idea. I got this one for dirt cheap, but here's the Series 1 Batman cards.
That is awesome.
Some of them just spilled out, but I'll show you the poster. Yeah, that's... Yeah, like, because remember, like... see, here's what the... Remember those cards?
Yes, I do remember those. Yes.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet, man.
And those are awesome.
And then I'll the other variants were. There's the series two.
Yes, I remember those.
I mean, is that movie just the best? That's like the best.
It is.
It's the best Batman movie ever. And do you remember the A-Team?
Of course.
And I had some of these
of those cards.
What's that?
I never had any of those cards. I got into the A-Team like after it had kind of stopped being a real big thing, but those are amazing.
Yeah. My brother and I mean, we watched the reruns.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Really?
Don Ross?
Do you have any of the cards, or is it just the box?
I don't have any of the cards yet. That's but it was funny, because I found a... There's a price tag on there. It said $7.49. It's like some old gas station tag, so I'm not sure what that means. I don't know if it was like $7.49 for the box or what, like in back in the day.
Yeah.
I think these are 1980.
What is
1981, 83, yeah.
Wow.
Huh. But yeah, that's me, man. I like the old stuff.
Hell yeah.
And because there's the second series. Cool.
Okay.
There's the promo poster, but right. I mean, everything from the art, just the artwork to the, you know, just the logo of the movie and everything, the costumes. And did you watch the Blu-ray?
No.
You should watch the Batman movies, like the Tim Burton ones on Blu-ray, because like his mask, you can even see like the holes for his nose.
Really?
Like, because if you watch it on DVD or like especially like VHS, you can't see that detail, but on the, it's just, Blu-ray is just amazing, you know? Yeah. And that Batmobile is just so cool.
I love that Batmobile. I love everything about that movie.
It's, I mean, that was a pretty fast car. I mean, that was like the real deal, you know. And it had like 300 coats of jet black paint on it.
Wow.
I mean, it's like insane, you know. Yeah. And when you got a movie budget like that, I mean, you can afford a paint job that fancy. But
yeah, that's true. That's true.
At some point, I'll get the kit replica done. So.
Yeah, how's that going?
It's going good. I'm working on the switch pods right now, but it's like we're kind of saying. I mean, it's like time is just such a hard. It's such a fine commodity these days, and I'm working on a little bit at a time.
Yeah.
And the hard thing is like every piece of fiberglass on that car is like a small movie set you're working with.
Yeah.
Because all of the lights on the dash, the metal overlays, and everything, it's all anchored to something that you have to glue or fasten to the fiberglass. And the way you do it to make it look good, you have to make it look like you don't see any screws or anything.
Right.
So it looks like a factory job, and I'm almost there, and it's almost ready to paint. So I have the interior of the car all stripped out down to the floor, bare metal. And but I got all that painted black because it was red before. So I got that all painted black. That's what I spent the summer doing. And so I'm going to put some of that hush mat stuff in there, you know, for like to deaden like road noise.
Yeah.
And I'm going to put all new interior and carpet in there just like on the show. And I found a guy who he makes the same type of cloth that the car on the TV show had. It was really hard to find. I was able to get some. So it's
that's badass.
Yeah, when I get it done, I mean, the whole idea is to have it be like a mascot for the podcast, you know, because, I mean, I start, you know, I have, like, the Knight Rider. When I first started the show, I have, like, Kit on there, you know?
Yeah.
And, I mean, because, when Jody had his show, I mean, he was all about, like, DC Comics and stuff, you know? Or just comics in general. So my thing's always been, like, action, you know, 80s action TV shows, you know? It's always been my thing. Yeah. But, I mean, I love comics, too. I love it all, but, yeah, after that's done, I got permission from my wife. She's like, hey, just go buy an A-Team van. Already done. I go, okay, sure, yeah. But she's like, you got to get your car finished first. I go, I could do that.
You're going to get an A-Team van. That's amazing.
Yeah, that'll be great.
Oh, that's going to be awesome.
Yeah, so I want to take it to Comic-Cons and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I want to take them to Comic-Cons and... And, I mean, it would really be cool to promote the show with that, you know?
Absolutely.
So, I have a game plan worked out.
Hell yeah!
And, but I got the YouTube channel started, but I need to create a different one, because I renamed it to my personal, or I renamed the Case in Point, but that doesn't really work, because it would, like, Google, it'll link everything together. So, if I change it to Case in Point, and I send an email to someone... Well, that's going to show up. Who's this Case in Point podcast? I don't know who this is.
Right.
So I'm going to create another account, YouTube account for the podcast. But okay. I got everything in play for how I want to do the show, you know.
Awesome.
I mean, this stuff's going to go up there, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So there's so many, like, easy things you can do for a podcast that you just got to do it. You know what I mean?
Amen. Amen. Yeah, I hear you.
And, I mean, that's why I appreciate you making time to be on this show, because I know the schedules are ridiculous.
I appreciate you having me. I love just coming on and just, like, I've told you before, like, I love just listening to you and Jody talk. It just makes me laugh, just you guys talking to one another. And I just love coming on these shows and nerding out. It's so much fun.
Oh, yeah, he's probably shoveling snow right now.
Poor guy.
Yeah. Yeah. He's out and about quite a bit. I think for what he's doing, he's out on the road all the time.
Yeah.
Out on the roads, having to drive in that slop. So same thing with my brother and a lot of my friends up there. So, how are things there? You're not snowed in or anything, are you?
No, we've gotten very little here. It's just been really cold. It's just been one of those things where you walk outside and you just feel like your face is going to fall off. But you know, I don't mind that. I hate shoveling snow. I hate wiping it off my car, all that stuff. I'll deal with the cold if I have to. But no, it hasn't been too bad yet.
Well, it's funny because it's like I remember one of your episodes. You had you're ranting about something in the car. I think you stopped at the bank, and then you got back in your car and you're like, "So hey, stop." I just saw a car with giant eyelashes on it or something like that. Yes. I was like, this is the best.
Yeah, that's what I've been messing around with lately, is just like whatever, like you were saying, just free flowing, whatever comes to my mind. I just turn on the microphone of my phone when I'm driving and just observational shit, you know? It's fun. It's therapeutic.
Yeah, because I have a plan to do something similar to that, because I had one episode called Justin's Log.
Yeah.
And I what happened was is I when I'm doing that, are you doing like a live or do you just sit and record on your phone?
Yeah, I just have an app called Smart Voice Recorder, so I just record it on there and then I'll edit it later. I'm not doing anything like, you know, like broadcasting it live or anything like that. Just as long as I don't say anything that I'm too horrible, then I just throw it onto the podcast later.
Yeah, because I haven't been doing them because like I've been calling my brother instead on the way home instead of ranting to myself.
Right.
But because it kind of works out, my schedule works out where like he's available to talk, so it's been pretty good to do that too. But I think I've got 3 or 4 of those episodes in the backlog. I should just put them out.
Yeah, you should, absolutely.
Yeah. But I mean, it's just nice to hear, like, I'm like when you get real about things.
Yeah.
Because I mean, there's so many fake people out there, you know, and it's refreshing, and it's
appreciate that. Yeah. I've always said, like, you know, like fake just isn't for me. Like, there's, you know, I got a ton of flaws and a ton of scars or whatever, but like I feel like we all do. So I, you know, the thing I say on the show all the time is you got to own who you are, and so you just own all of it and just put it out there. And I always put out, every time I put out an episode, I'm just like, oh, God, why did I do that? Why didn't I edit this part out? But then, like, people like you and, you know, other people listening and stuff like that always, when they say sweet things like that and just like, oh, well, I thought this too or I felt this way too, you feel like less of a lunatic. You know, so I'm just like, okay, there are people out there who think like me and who get irritated by eyelashes on cars and just the stupidest little shit. You know, so it's been, like I said, it's been really therapeutic.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing, too. I mean, it's like, it's just cool, man. I mean, like I've said it before, it's we're kind of like kindred spirits, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And it's like when we finally got to actually, connect and stuff, I mean, it was like a big deal for me, you know, at least we have like the means like this to be able to converse. Whereas back in the day, it was like, if you didn't know that guy, I'm not giving you his number either. You know, it's like,
right, exactly. Back when we were kids, we would have to be like pen pals or something. You know what I mean? There's no internet. We'd just be like sending each other like messages through carrier pigeon or something. You know?
Yeah. Got the little capsule on the tail end or whatever. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But there's some good and bad with technology. But I think, you know, I think there's more good than bad. I think it's, you know, and it's nice being able to you know, even, I mean, do you have people that, like, maybe you were friends with that have kind of moved, like, in different parts of the country that you kind of reach out to, or?
100%, yeah. Yeah, and it's, when I was a kid and, like, one of my friends would move away, that was the end of the world. Like, what? You're moving to, you know, wherever, the other side of the country? Like, we're never going to talk again. You know, it was, like, the end of the world for me. And now it's just like, yeah, absolutely, you know, become an adult, go to college, get families, kids, whatever. You know, and everyone kind of scatters throughout. And it's just like, I often think if I could go back now and talk to myself when I was a kid and explain to him all the different changes in technology and, like, you know, when you're, you know, 8-year-old you, when you're 38, you're going to have your own podcast and you're going to be able to communicate with people through a computer and stuff like that. Like, it's just, it'd be mind blowing. It'd be like telling someone that the Jetsons were going to be real and that that's what's going to happen. You know, there'd be flying cars and, you know, and robot maids and stuff like that. Like, it's just the rapid succession of the advances in technology have just been amazing.
Yeah.
Then there's us who can't even figure out how to get Skype to record a podcast.
Yeah. How does this work again?
Yeah.
Let me get my glasses.
Right.
They need to have like a jitterbug version of Skype for us, I guess.
I know. It's ridiculous.
The big, or was it the big calculator?
Yeah.
Yeah. My dad had like these cheap, remember how like they have those reader glasses you get at the drugstore and they're on like that spinner rack?
Oh, yeah.
My dad would put them on the bridge of his nose. And well, if you got to do that, they're not working, pal.
So true.
Even just to push, like, it's like, oh, right. My, shouldn't you memorize where those are by now? Quiet! Making pot shots at him. It's like, be quiet, you know. My dad had this, he had this old LTD sedan, and it was like a really horrible, like, flat gray, and it was all kind of sun-baked and everything. And they pulled it out, of a field with a rope. And
My God.
I don't know how he got it home, but my dad used to paint cars. Like I alluded to earlier, I'd get into his paint supplies but he painted this car fire engine red.
Oh, wow.
The fire engine red LTD sedan. And it was funny because, like they didn't make that color, you know, for that car. So he had like this pimped out custom LTD circa 1984 or 85, you know?
Nice.
But it would make this noise when he'd back up and go, rrr. I go, Dad, what's that noise? Never mind. You know, don't ask questions. You know?
Right.
you remember stuff like that, you know? And, yeah. But, I mean, did you guys ever have, like, did your parents ever have, like, winter rats or anything like that? They're, like, you know, maybe that's an upstate New York thing.
Cause it's I don't know what that is.
So they used to have like, so what they would do is like we had horrible winters when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And so like what they would do is if people had a nicer car, they would not put that out on the road and they would have a car that was, or a truck that was all kind of rusted out because of all the salt. And they didn't have like the protective coverings like they use on cars now, but like they had winter rats and like, oh, this is my winter rat. I take it to the dump, you know?
Yeah.
And I think where I grew up was a little bit more rural than where you guys were. So that probably has a lot to do with it, but
no, yeah, we definitely had that too. Like I remember when I was a kid, like my parents bought like for like $200 this old, like, so this would have been the late 90s and it was like an old, like 79 station wagon. And it was just like, that like the worst color brown. It was just so horrible. And after a while, like after like 2 months, the muffler fell off. So you could hear us coming like 3 miles away. And it was just like my mom would drive up, like pull up in the school. And I'd be getting out of this like, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed. Like, because you could hear me coming a mile away. And it's just disgusting. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like, but yeah, that was our winter car. Because we mainly had one car growing up. And it was just like this red minivan that, you know, would just haul my sister and me to school or wherever, and then we got the station wagon.
Yeah, because it was, my parents always had, like, old cars, too, because, I mean, if it was, like, the 80s or the 90s, it wasn't uncommon to, there was that jump with cars, right? Because if your car was, like, a 79 or a 78 or whatever, and it's, like, 1987, well, there's a huge jump in the way cars looked.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you had, like, one of those wagons, like, it was always embarrassing because my parents had a LTD wagon that had that fake wood grain on it.
Yep.
And it would stick out further than the rest of the cars at the mall parking lot.
Yep.
Well, it stayed outstated to welcome by, like, at least, you know, I mean, because there was such a dramatic shift in how cars looked. We were so embarrassed.
Oh, yeah. And, yeah,
they had this Plymouth station wagon. It, like, it had vacuum leaks, and so, like, it would go, and it hissed really bad. So you'd be sitting at the store, and it would just hiss. And it had, like, these dinner plates for like hubcaps, and it was they got it, like, third hand from, like, the auction at, like, the local school district. And if a school's willing to get rid of a car, it must be pretty bad.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, that thing was, I think they gave it to someone, they gave it away to somebody for, like, fixing something. So it was like, it ended up changing hands, not even through cash, you know, it was like, here, just take this, you know.
Right, just get this out of our hair.
It's a freebie, you know.
Yeah.
It was a poop brown. I mean, it was not an attractive car.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, I mean, I still like to watch those old shows that have, like, the Plymouth Velaris on them, and like, you watch Dukes of Hazzard, and they'll, like, take a jump, and then you see it land, and the frame's bent like this when it lands. It's like Smoking the Bandit, you know? He's got that 77 Pontiac Le Mans with just the stickers on it, and then the lights just set on there.
Yeah.
It's, like, floating above the highway because he's going so fast. I am in hot pursuit! Shaves the top off because it goes under that trailer.
Yeah.
Oh, slow motion. I love that, man. I love that stuff. And yeah, but it's, I mean, we had a situation where we had that same wagon, and this was in the summertime, and we blew a tire, right? The spare was a winter tire. And so he put this thing on, and it had, like, the studs in it. It was going, rah, 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 rah. It was so loud, you couldn't even hear. We couldn't even hear each other in the car. It was so bad.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, we used to go run, like, flea markets and stuff when we were kids. And, you know, I mean, that's what we used, you know. And I miss that stuff, you know.
Yeah. Simpler times.
Better times, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, no doubt.
I mean, just think, if you were your age now back then, man, you'd be king of the world, you know?
Oh, my God, yeah. Oh.
You'd be like, I mean, things that people thought might be difficult back then, it's like, well, I'll show you, because
I'm... Yeah, right, yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's nothing. Oh, man.
Yeah, I mean, because, a lot of times, I'll think about, like, just think about, like, what kind of magazines used to be on the rack, or, like, what kind of candy. Oh, I want Mr. Bones. I want to get a Mr. Bones, you know, which is, like, the little skeleton puzzle in the casket.
Yeah, yeah. You remember that? That's a way back callback, my friend. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Damn. Simpler times.
Yeah. They still make the wax teeth. I did look that up.
Do they really?
Yeah.
I love those.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's... Yeah, I love all that stuff, but, you know, I was thinking, too, about, like, you know, you have, like, Star Wars. I was telling someone how, you know, it's, like, it used to be a big deal, like, if you saw, like, someone had any kind of, like, Star Wars merchandise, or they had the lightsaber or something when you were a kid, because, like, that stuff wasn't so readily available.
No, no.
You know, now Star Wars is everywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
And did you watch the Han Solo movie?
I have not seen Solo yet. What do you think? Do you recommend it? Awesome. I've heard either both sides of the fence. I've either heard that it's awesome and it's great, or I've heard, like, it's not that great. I mean, I still want to see it. I want to be a completist, because I hated The Last Jedi, but I still sat through that. You know what I mean? But
so I think that's where everyone agrees The Last Jedi was terrible.
Yeah.
That's garbage.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah.
I mean, it does have a few things I do like. I like the battle with Snoke. Just seeing Snoke actually in person was cool. Yeah. You know, he's just like an old dirty pimp, you know. That's a gold robe on, you know.
Yeah.
And it, you know, I've actually got the throne playset right now. And he's sitting, I'm so bad, Ryan. I'm such a nerd.
There's much worse things you could be wasting your money on. You know what I mean? Like,
Oh yeah.
I'm all about keeping that inner child going and sparking that, you know, that energy.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, for me, it's like, you know, life's kind of weird, you know. So it's like, if you've got something that like makes you feel good, you know, I mean, I think that's the way to do it.
I agree.
If you're crying out loud, you find half the stuff on clearance, you know. It's like, okay, yeah, I'll take my money, you know.
Yeah.
So, but I rotate my stuff out. Like, I sell a ton of stuff on eBay.
Yeah.
And like, I sold off a bunch of Mega Man stuff. And I sold off, I had a bunch of different things. Like, I had some Transformers and different things. You're like, I had a who's that guy? Darth Revan, the guy from like the Expanded Universe. He's from the Knights of the Old Republic video game.
Okay.
Yeah, it's Expanded Universe. I'm like, I don't care about this. I sold it for like $120.
Wow, holy shit.
I paid $7 for it. Yeah.
Wow.
I'm like, okay, here you go. Take it off my wall and, you know.
Is it a really, like, rare figure? Is it, like, really?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I just happened to find it in the store. Because, I mean, I got an eye for that stuff. And I had had it for, like, 12 years. Wow. I just had it in storage because I knew it wasn't a common one. So I'm like, yeah, I'll sell this for some money one day. And I just, there you go.
Yeah, and you did.
Yeah. So, but, yeah, that's I don't know. We'll see what the new Star Wars ends up looking like. When's the next main movie out? Is it next year?
I believe it'll be next year. Next Christmas-ish, I believe. If they're sticking with the same kind of schedule.
I think so, and it'd be JJ, right?
Yes, it should be JJ, which gives me a little bit of hope.
Yeah, I mean, he's pretty much our best shot at this point.
Yeah, and I mean, I look at it like this. It can only get better. It can't be any worse than The Last Jedi, at least I hope, you know? I don't know where it could go. So.
Well, yeah, I mean, because the thing is like, Solo was good. I mean, because it's like, it's real. I mean, it's all about, like, backstabbing and cool, like, you know, mercenary type stuff. I mean, that's what it is.
Yeah.
And it's not like a bunch of Jedi floating stuff across the room. It's about, like, cool blaster battles and getting to see the Falcon for like an extended period of time in its original form. I mean, it's amazing. And it's just great. I mean, yeah, people complain that the actor didn't really capture the feel, but he did. You could tell he really tried. He really tried to do justice. And Harrison Ford is not someone who's cookie cutter by any means.
No.
How can you replace somebody like that?
Yeah, you know? Right. Exactly. You got to put your own fresh take on it.
Exactly. So, with that in mind, I think they did a great job. Cool. And, but 8 was garbage. I hated it. The Shamrock Shake thing. And you know,
Oh, God. Oh.
It's like Princess Leia and the Mary Poppins thing. You know?
I hate it. That's the part that sticks out to me the most that I just hated, where she's flying through the... Oh, my God. Get that out of here.
Oh. Get that out of here. Oh, that's great, man. Yeah. It's just it's a very feminist driven film.
Yeah.
With, like, the lady with the purple hair, Laura Dern?
Laura Dern, yeah.
And so the lady who was in charge of Star Wars got fired.
Oh, really?
Or she got the wire brush.
Huh. Why? And
I saw it because the movies aren't doing that good.
Oh, really? Oh, wow.
And that's why Solo got the shaft, was because people were so still had a bad taste in their mouth over episode 8, and so it didn't get a shake. I highly suggest it. I think it'd be good. I think it'd be cool if you watch it.
Yeah, definitely check it out.
Yeah, but... Yeah, so... So what do you got coming up? You going to be doing some more...
So we're recording this on a Friday. Sometime this weekend, I'll be putting out a new episode, which will be the first episode in 6 episodes. It's not the journey type thing. So it's basically just, I've just been experimenting with just, like I was saying earlier, just recording in my car for 10 minutes at a time, just observational. What do I see? What does it make me think of? What can I yell about that I'm angry about or whatever time? So it's just going to kind of be a random hodgepodge of just random stuff I'm talking about. And my goal is just kind of keep recording more, just kind of keep putting stuff out. And then I also got my side project that I do with Tiffany Moore, my girlfriend, and she has a podcast called 4AM Knows All My Secrets, which is just stories and just weird stuff that, you know, whatever kind of weird conversation we get into. But my goal is to just keep putting out new stuff. And people seem to like the kind of diary format of just turning on the microphone and talking as I'm driving or whatever. So I'm rolling with that for a little bit. And just it also just kind of scratches an itch for me where it just kind of fills that creative void. And just even if I'm just not talking about anything or saying anything important, I still feel better after I've done it because I've gotten that stuff out and I've recorded something. So that's kind of where I'm at right now.
No, that's great. I mean, I think it sounds like you really got the creative bug right now, which is awesome. I mean, that's what kind of keeps you going with this stuff, you know? And I don't know. I think it's great. Cause you get such a reaction from people because people are either like super offended by what you say or they agree with you 100%.
Yeah. I love it. You know?
And it's so cool to see people from the opposite side of the spectrum. I mean, it's amazing the reaction you get from people.
Yeah, it really is. Sometimes it's weird. Sometimes I kind of think about, like I was saying earlier about going back and talking to my younger self. Like sometimes I just kind of think about like you and Jody and, you know, our friend that I met through you guys, Pete Hamage. Like it's like I wouldn't know you guys if it weren't through podcasts, you know. But now it's like we've all kind of formed this like connection and like the McSauce guys and like we've got our own little kind of like podcast community going here. And it's just it's really cool. And it's just like it's all based on the love of this media form and what we've all done with it. It's just a really kind of bizarre but super awesome thing that I didn't think was possible.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, we, for crying out loud, we've been at it for a few years now and it just time flies.
Yeah.
I'm just glad you're out there making new episodes.
So. I appreciate it. Thank you. I'm glad that people dig it, you know?
Yeah. And it's, I mean, you definitely add something to the community that's unique. So, I mean, it's not cookie cutter. So,
thank you. I appreciate that.
Because there's a lot of bad shows out there. Like, just people don't have God bless them. They try, but they just don't have the oomph. They don't have the personality or the voice.
Yeah.
Because when you do this kind of stuff, you got to be comfortable and you have to be able to free flow and just understand that. You know, either you're comfortable with it or you're not. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree 100%.
So, yeah, but next time I have you on, I'm going to put on some, I'll have some questions for you.
Oh, yeah, that's fine.
Real quick, as a last part of this, what is something that you wish you could get back that maybe you lost when you were a kid?
When I was a kid, my earliest memories of like whatever I was obsessed with before professional wrestling, before G.I. Joe, before any of that stuff, I loved monsters, like the Universal monsters. Mm-hmm. And I fell in love with them from the old Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein movie, which had Frankenstein, Dracula, Wolfman, all these guys in it. And I don't remember who found it. My mom or my dad or someone just came across, like they found it or someone they worked with knew that I was in the monsters. They found just this old weird, like cardboard picture of Lon Chaney as the Wolfman. And it was almost like an artist rendering of it. And it was just really cool the way like the artist had painted the moon in the background and the Wolfman. And this was I would just carry this picture around in my pocket for months. And I would bring it to show and tell. And it was just my favorite thing in the world because I loved the Wolfman. He was my favorite monster. And when I was a kid, we moved like five or six times all over the place. And during one of the moves, I lost it somehow. And it just wrecked my world. And I just remember, like, just tearing apart boxes and looking for this thing for what felt like years, but it was, you know, probably only a day or two. And it was just, like, my most prized possession. I was so upset that I lost it. And every now and again, I just think about, like, how just something so simple and so weird that I don't even know where it came from or who found it or whatever, but it brought me such joy. And I just thought it was the coolest picture of the Wolfman. And I more just wish I could get back to that sense of innocence and just being able to be so happy with something and not kind of have all the weird adult stuff come in of just like, I could just lose myself in the picture of the Wolfman. I didn't have to worry about bills. I didn't have to worry about shoveling snow or job or anything like that. It just reminds me of a simpler time of just being a kid, you know?
Yeah. Well, The nice thing is, that's a really good answer. And one of the things is like, you always have that to kind of, it's always going to stay with you, you know?
Yeah, right, exactly. It's like the memories it holds, you know? It's just like, yeah. I can just close my eyes and it just puts me back in that place.
Yeah, yeah. And we actually, when I asked this question on the Facebook page, I got a pretty good response. And I was just going to go through real quick.
Yeah.
To some of the submissions. We actually had quite a response on here. I need to not neglect my Facebook page for the podcast, because I don't like Facebook, but I use it, you know.
Yeah, it's almost a necessary evil.
Exactly. That's perfect. Yeah. You know? Well, we have Dick Countryman. He had the Cobra Terror Drome.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he has no idea what happened to it. And that was a pretty cool G.I. Joe toy. That was the headquarters.
Yeah, I never had that one.
I didn't need... We were broke, man.
Yeah, I know.
I got a G.I. Joe with some of that camouflage packet that came with it. I thought it was... what is this? Looks like poop. I smeared it on the wall in the hallway. Yeah. It's still there to this day.
That's amazing.
So next time I go to my mother's house, I'll go find that spot because it's right next to my bedroom door. It's still smeared on the wall.
I'll tell you, one other one is Jody posted a picture a couple days ago of his kids playing with the old Ghostbusters, like the firehouse and all the old Ghostbuster figures that I forgot all about. Some of those, like, I guess they were just like secondary character monsters or whatever. Like, there was like a Frankenstein one. I remember there was an old lady that turned into a monster. And seeing him, the pictures of his toys and stuff brought back all those memories. And I had the old Ghostbusters headquarters and stuff like that. I would play with those figures for hours. So much fun. That and the old the Thundercats, the tank they used to drive. You know what I'm talking about? The gray one?
Oh, the
yeah, I know, the name escapes me.
That's terrible.
I know, right?
That's gonna drive me nuts now. It's not the Thunder Tank.
Yeah, I think it is the Thunder Tank.
Is it Thunder? It's that basic, yeah. Because it had like the things on it had like the claws. Yeah.
Yes. But my dad drove like five counties away to go like get this that was to be held at the Toys R Us or whatever for Easter one year. And I remember I would play with that. And even when I got older, I would use it as an entrance for my wrestling figures. Like the Road Warriors would come down in the Thunder Tank into the arena and all this stuff. Like it was, and I don't know what happened to it. Cause I had it well into like my teens and I don't know what happened to it. It just disappeared somehow.
Wow. Yeah. Usually most of my toys got smashed.
Yeah.
Yeah. They weren't lost. They were destroyed. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think. That's great, man. Because I never had any of the Thundercats stuff.
Oh, I was all about.
I had a Mumra. All I had was a Mumra, and my brother had Lion-O, and that's all we had.
Yeah.
You know, and no, that's a good one. So you were a Thundercats kid, huh?
Yeah. Were you not? You weren't a big Thundercats guy?
Oh, we were, but I think we were just so embedded in He-Man from a dollar perspective, because like He-Man figures are much more readily available. Like my brother and I, we would get them secondhand from like flea markets and yard sales.
Yeah.
A lot of times we would get them in stores once in a while for Christmas. We'd get maybe two or three.
Yeah.
You know, but then at that point they started to work their way up to like Salvation Army and that kind of place. And we could get like, you know, get a whole pile of figures for like $5. It was awesome.
Yeah.
You
know? That's amazing.
So that was our thing, was He-Man. And we had some Transformers. He-Man were the durable ones.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Thundercats are pretty beefy, too. And Thundercats are actually better made because they didn't have the rubber bands, I don't think.
I don't think they did. I don't think they did.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, my thing was haunted me for years, was the Knight Rider, the Kenner talking kit.
Was that the one that came with the Michael Knight figure?
Yeah.
Yeah, I had that. That was amazing.
Yeah, and I got it from a yard sale, and I had done something real stupid with it. And I got it kind of dirty, and the same day I got it from the yard sale, I dunked it in the kitchen sink.
Oh.
And it shorted out the voice box thing in the back. And I was thinking about, like, that episode of Knight Rider where they put him in the acid bath.
Yeah.
And so... that shorted out that thing. And then I, that same year, that later that fall, I went to Hershey Park and I was playing with, I was doing turbo boosts with it, throwing it up in the air, and it would land and go, Kah! And it just over time, it just started to just fall apart because of from the abuse. Oh, it lasted a grand total of 4 months in my possession, you know?
Oh, man.
But I did get that car back, another one. I found another one, so, which was neat, because I would dream about this car, even as an adult. I'd have this dream where, like, I'm going back in time, and I find this thing in a, this car in, a like, a toy store in the mall or something. And so I'm like, I gotta go get one of these so I can put this to rest.
Yeah, you know? Right, right.
I stopped having the dream after I got the car, you know?
That's amazing.
Yeah, and then I got the big one in the garage.
Right. You know?
So there should be no reason to have any issues now.
Right, exactly.
So that was mine, and I got real quick. I've got Nathan Delanoy. He's actually my cousin. He said, I would say my sanity, but honestly, don't miss it.
That's a good way. That's a good perspective.
Yeah. Yeah. He's honest about that kind of stuff. He's a funny cat. Let's see. So Jody's wife, Rebecca, said, I lost a gold watch that Jody gave me for Christmas 1 year. I lost it in a van, and the owner claims they couldn't find it. Who knows? I would say they stole it.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt.
That's a classic cop-out line. Yep. I didn't find it.
Yep.
Justin Carr says, my Phoenix Suns hat was stolen while I was at the water fountain in eighth grade. Yeah, well, that's usually how it plays out.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a nice hat. Jody said, I once had a classmate steal my Walt Disney World towel while I was taking a post-gym class shower in fifth grade.
Oh, bummer. Oh, Jody. Damn.
Yeah. Yeah, he was in a different school. We were in the same school district, but he was in a different actual like building.
Oh, wow.
So they had us split up between Brownville and Dexter. Those are the two towns that we were split up, but it was the same school district. It's weird.
Yeah, yeah.
Josh Donaldson, he's a good friend of ours, Jody and I. Charlotte Hornets on a hockey style jersey out of the gym locker. So I'm guessing that means someone stole that.
I think the theme here is don't bring stuff that you like to school because kids are assholes. You know, like they're just going to take it. You know, jeez. Everyone got their stuff stolen as a kid. That's so sad.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, even now as an adult, I bet you I've left like two or three pairs of Oakley sunglasses in a hotel or something.
God, yeah.
Like that. You know, and I'm like, it's always like nice stuff.
Right. You know? That's why I don't even buy anything but dollar store sunglasses, because I know I'm going to lose them within 5 to 7 days anyway, regardless of what happens.
Oh, I know. It's I don't need them polarized. I don't need any of that stuff. I'll get old lady sunglasses at this point.
Yeah.
I don't care. Let me see. I'm looking for if we had any Twitter submissions. Here we go. I only had one response on this, I think. Yeah. So Ponch said, some of the G.I. Joe vehicles I had as a kid, Tiger Rat, Cobra Mamba, Havoc Tank, Slaughter's Marauders Equalizer Tank, and the Hogan and Macho Man LJN figures. I didn't know he had any of those. That's
wow.
Funny. You had a bunch of those, didn't you?
Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah, see, you and Jody are two peas in a pod when it comes to that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so... Yeah, that's pretty much what we had for that, and I appreciate everyone sending those in. And I know it's been a little bit of a gap between when I put that out there and when, you know, we're actually doing this. So, yeah, but no, Ryan, again, I appreciate you making this, and
pleasure
always here, always welcome.
Oh, thank you, and you as well. I'd love to have you come back on my show, and. Yeah, we need to do another like Halloween ghost episode, because that was a lot of fun. Some of the stories you had were really, really gave me the chills, man. I had to sleep with the lights on that night.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's some weird stuff, man. I've got more that have happened since then, so.
Wow.
Yeah, I've even got some pictures, so.
Nice.
I don't know if I sent those to you or not.
No, I don't think so.
I'll message them to you, man.
Okay.
Some weird stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like stuff that's happening around where I live now. So it's just strange. A lot of stuff flying around. So,
wow. Anything in your actual house, like the house you're in now, does anything kind of spooky like that happen there? No?
No. No, not really. It's the history of the East Coast.
Yeah.
You know, that's got a lot to do with it. So, but anyway, yeah, it's weird. But, well, hey, I think that's going to do it, folks. And yeah, if you want to do another one, Ryan, just let me know and I'd love to be on your show and we can do something. So, I think that's going to just about do it, folks. So catch Ryan on, you're on iTunes. Are you still on Stitcher?
As far as I know, we're on Stitcher. I guess I should look into that because I set up the podcast and threw it on a bunch of platforms and I've never followed up on any of them. So I should just make sure that I'm still on them because I know, like, I will see people and they'll be like, oh, I listened to your podcast on this app. And I'm like, I've never heard of that app. I didn't know I was available on there. But so I'm pretty sure that we're available on anywhere you get your podcast from. Stitcher, iTunes, any of that fun stuff. Libsyn.com.
That's awesome. Yeah. Of course, we got our friends, the McSauce Boys. They're catch the McSauce podcast and, you know, a fireside chat. Check it out, folks. And we got Chadwick Suet, you know.
That's right. Element of Surprise.
Yep. Awesome guy. And I really enjoy his show. And it's in a lot of ways, it has the same feel as yours in a lot of ways. Just kind of talking about social interactions and weird people. So,
weird people, yep.
People watching is always a fun pastime. So,
oh yeah.
Then of course there's Hope This Finds You Well. That's another great show.
Yes.
Those guys are really, really good with. I love it when they chime in on the Twitter page. You know,
yeah, they're fun. Things.
Especially my rotting pumpkin I got outside the studio here. I might take one more picture before I get rid of it. It's my wife.
You still have it out there? It hasn't withered away yet? Nice.
It's starting to sink in.
Yeah.
I'll take one more picture before I throw in the trash and put it up on the Twitter page.
Yeah, I want to see it.
It's the decaying temporary mascot of the podcast. I think that's just about doing it. So, again, thanks a lot, man. And,
thank you.
Yeah, and well, we'll catch you guys next time.